it's let him drift away or let we drift. But the idea really has the idea of glide aside. It means to glide beside us. We could let our truth grow murky and uncertain. And I think we could take 2 Peter chapter 1 where it talks about he who has the virtues of adding to your faith, virtue, knowledge, and all those things, all the way up to love. It says if you have these virtues and this continuum going on in your life, you'll neither be unfruitful nor barren in the knowledge of Christ. God wants you to know Him in the here and now, specifically as He invades your experience. God wants to show up in your life. He wants to be there. But our problem is, we're not leaning in, we're not drawing near, we're not asking the questions, we're not getting lit up, we don't have a song in our hearts that rings a melody as we sang this morning, sometimes because we have other songs that are more important to us. We'd rather sing about a girlfriend or a boyfriend or love or our car or whatever. We'd rather sing about all the goofy stuff of the world. But when we sing about Jesus, we're ruminating on Jesus. And we get the song and we've got all this going on and God wants to invade. And the Bible says, but if these things be not in you, then the Bible says you will be made blind, short-sighted, even unto blindness, forgetting that you were washed from your sins. Is it possible to let things drift aside and miss what's going on? Yes. It is possible for believers to kind of hobble all the way. You want an illustration? Look at Lot. The Bible says he was a just man, but he destroyed, he vexed, he did violence to his righteous soul as he looked at the world around him in Sodom. Every day he got so tweaked and messed up that those two men who came as angels who came as men, and he was almost having to give them up to the perversion of those pounding on his door. And he says, no, don't take these men, because he saw something special about it. Here, take my daughters. This is how messed up he was. Was he a Christian? The Bible says he was a righteous man, but he vexed his righteous soul. Guys, listen, you and I can get to the point where we're wondering, am I in or am I out? And if we let it drift away, if we let ourselves drift away and let the world squeeze its doubts in our core, then we are impoverished spiritually and we have a hard time seeing even when God does show up. We become like Jacob saying, surely God was here and I did not know it. We're walking around and God's moving all around, but we can't hear Him, see Him, or feel Him, or sense Him. We feel like, well, maybe we're not even saved. And that's how people get out of church, stay out of church, because they start feeling like, well, there's nothing real in my experience. Guys, listen. It's important that we don't let the doubts crowd in on us. And as the adults in the room are standing here or sitting here thinking, these are truths, I can see it, it resonates in my core. Go another step further. It's imperative that you and I get our minds around these truths because our kids are depending on us to be real. Lot gave up his daughters. And what ends up happening is oftentimes because we have no vim and vigor for our faith, our kids say it must not be real. This is what happened, I believe, in the 60s. The 50s was all about everybody doing church because it was a socially acceptable thing. And then the kids said, you're a joke. You're just playing church and you're just doing it for status. You're doing it to get people to come to your business, to be involved in this lodge or whatever. It was all about society and social. And the kids say, you guys are a joke. Give me drugs. Give me immorality. And the whole thing spiraled out of control because church became churchianity rather than Christianity. You can follow the thread. We used to be lit up in this country. Prior to that, they had the prohibition in our government. They even outlawed alcohol because they saw it as an evil. They had temperance societies because they saw that evil of alcohol. Somebody says, well, why doesn't Jesus turn water into wine? He takes alcohol, turns it into furniture. He turns it into cars. He turns it into food on the table. Jesus changes lives. People who are messed up in drink and in foulness, He can change them to a new person. That's what He does. He does the miracle every day. He did it in my life. And for those of you in this room who know Him, He's done it for you. And yet, sometimes we've allowed the doubts to be encroached upon us. The Lord has spoken to us, and we need to give more in earnest heed. Verse 2, it says, For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Key word here for this passage is in verse 3, neglect. The word means to not care much about it. The word means to care little about or give it little press in your heart and in your mind. It has the idea of to hear amiss. It has the idea of hearing carelessly. It has the idea of to care little about it. Now guys, listen. We have to be honest with ourselves. There are times when you don't care like you should about God and His Word. We are all subject to the routine, crowding out God, silencing His voice. The clamor gets loud. Maybe the circumstances get tough. We were reading on our way home from Pennsylvania, the end of the book of Acts, and the Bible says they had that shipwreck, and then this serpent came out and bit him. And then the natives thought, well, he must have been a really bad, bad guy, you know, because he's the gods or justice is going after him. And the Bible says they watched him for a while because he didn't get sick right away, and they thought he was going to get sick. And after a while, they said, well, he must be a god, you know, because he didn't get sick, because God preserved him. God wasn't done with him. But, you know, in all of the way that God was somehow propping up him and his testimony, it occurred to me that in order for that to happen, Paul had to be bit. And the point that was driven home to my heart and should be to our own is that sometimes when the world tries to crowd out God or when circumstances try to mess you up, sometimes you have to be bit. And when you get bit and God shows up, people notice that. When you're having a hard time and you've been hurt and life has not given you what you think you would rather have had, don't give up on God. Draw near. Give more heed. Understand. God is there. This is not all there is. This is shadow. Substance is just over yonder. Beloved, he says we need to not listen carelessly. Because if we listen carelessly, many amongst us will potentially be lost. We're going to see later that many, having not heard properly, were wiped out in the Old Testament. And we need to be careful because we can't escape God's demands. You know, this truth of Christ and who He is, we treat that carelessly. We're like playing with a revolver as a child, you know. It might come back and bite us. It might come back and hit us. It might shoot us, you see. It might wound us. You see, people treat God like He's an option. Yeah, it's good for you. No, it's good for everybody, and everybody needs it. It's not just good for me. He's the only way out. And if we play, as it were, with this loaded gun of the truth of the gospel, the Bible calls it the power of God unto salvation. It is also the power of God unto damnation. Can you hear that? Can you receive it? Because when you hear it, you get comfortable with it, and you get so used to it being in the room, one day you're going to wake up finding out you never really understood it or accepted it anyway. You know, a lot of people can do a lot of religious things without being saved. Did you know that? They can sing, they can pray, they can preach. They can do a lot of religious things. They can do church, they can give money. They can even share the gospel. I've actually seen people do that I'm not even sure are saved. Sharing the gospel. Because they understood it. But they understood it, but they didn't have any life. The Bible says, by their fruit you shall know them. I wonder if anybody could know you were a Christian by your fruit. Because we have to ask that question continue. We have to kind of constantly go back to the mirror. Am I okay? Am I good? Am I squaring with what he's got? The Bible says that every disobedience, careless listening, every transgression that's overt on purpose sin received a just recompense of reward. And that means that it actually got what God had set in force for it. In other words, there was a wage agreed upon that if you do this, this is going to happen. And the Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul will die. Fear not him who can kill body, but fear him who can cast both body and soul into hell, the Bible says. You can fear the face of men all you want, but I'm telling you something, folks. Those faces are going to wax old and fade away, but Jesus remains the same. And he's saying, don't let that thing that's been in your core, that's been driving you up to this point, don't let it slip away. Because if you let it slip beside you and go on the way, you will either come of one place, you will either come to a place where you will forget you are washed from your sins, or number two, you may find that you never were washed from your sins. You know, the Bible says, He will never forsake us or leave us, right? He will not cast any that come to Him. Some people think they came and never did. Did you know that? A lot of people in the world think they're saved. They go to church. They got their list. You know, I've done this, and certainly I'm saved. Bible says many will come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, and He's going to say, I never knew you. He didn't say I knew you and you were done and I left. You know, I never knew you. You know, Bible says in verse 3, it says, how shall we escape? It says, if we neglect so great salvation. Now the idea here is very important because what he's saying when he says so great. It's from a word at its core that means comrade, which is hard to really translate. But what he's actually saying is, how shall we escape if we neglect this amazing development in salvation. You see, the Old Testament had the sacrificial system, and God sent his prophets to prophesy Jesus was coming, he would be born of a virgin, that he would be named Emmanuel, and he would bear our sins in his body on the tree, and all the things the Old Testament. Here's the amazing development. Here it is. What are you doing? Walking away, looking away. No! He's actually been using broad strokes over hundreds of years, thousands of years. He's told us it would happen from the very get-go. He says, as it were, that the heel of her seed would crush the head of the serpent right out of the gate, he says. There's going to be a seed of woman that's going to come. The very first gospel, right there in the garden, he will crush the head of the serpent. He says, how can we escape? How can we act like this isn't important? How can we not draw it in and look at it and chase the threads? You need to chase the threads. Because if you do not, he says, we can't expect to escape. He says, if you just deny my son, he says, he that has the son has life. He that has not the son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. So he tells us not only did he speak this salvation, this great, awesome development in verse 3, he spoke it by the Lord, but he confirmed it by those that heard him. And if you don't have this verse underlined, you should in your Bibles, because it is all about the miracles and signs. Everybody wants to say are for today. The Bible says God confirmed it unto us in verse 3 by those that heard him. Look at verse 4. It says, God also bearing them witness, with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his will. Them that heard him got miracles. Those that were right up close. The apostles got to actually raise the dead. Peter did. And we actually see handkerchiefs taken from men's, from Paul, and people were healed. And there were some miracles going on when they would walk along and somebody was lame. Man, they'd give them their legs back. How? Why? Why? Because God was confirming that everything they said was true. Gold and silver have we none, but such as we have, give I thee, Peter said. He says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. Wow. He got up, he leaped, he laughed, he leaped, and he praising God. He went into the temple. Everybody's like, whoa, what's that all about? It's about Jesus, they would say. Day of Pentecost, they spoke in foreign languages they didn't know. They were fishermen, uneducated men, knowing languages of non-Palestinian. 3,000 get saved. Miracles. He confirmed. This is our God. This is our King. It's what's real. Everything you go out of here today and you see in the world, you see the mall, you see the traffic lights, you see everything. And you know what I see? I see potholes. I see a world breaking down and falling apart. I went to Pennsylvania this weekend over in the Poconos where we used to live, and that place is just growing. I mean, strip malls everywhere. Huge. All kinds of development just in the past 10 years. Huge. Can it go on like this forever? Can it really, do you think? You know what God's doing? He's fixing it up to burn it. You ever get a fire pit going? Some of y'all might have one. You might have a bin out back. You throw all the garbage. You get it all together, and then you're going to burn it. God's going to burn it one day. He says, I'm going to let you have as much line as you need to hang yourself, but there's a few more needing to be saved. And so he waits. The Bible says he is not slack concerning his promises, as some think count slackness, but he's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish. He's waiting. He might be waiting for your son or daughter. He might be waiting for your loved one. What a gracious God. I mean, he'd be all totally right to just take it now, wouldn't he? Just take the reins back. The Bible says that he bore them witness with signs and